Today, with another episode where we dig into people's stories that really shape us, stories that you often don't hear on the common mainstream radio, we're going to be discussing a little some recent really complex events that has been gaining some attention across Canada and India. That's also based on Pranay's history, his immigration to Canada. He's a student at SFU. I'll let him introduce himself a little bit better later. And with that in mind, I would love to dive with everyone here for Man Master Hua. I don't know if I said that correctly. Can you correct me, Pranay?
That's right. That's Man Master Hua, which stands for My Mind is Fresh Now.
Yes, and we will be playing it from the artist Vandana Vishwas from the album Kabira. So enjoy the music.
Oh,
And we're back, and you have just listened to Mon Master Hua from Vandana Vishwas. I hope you enjoyed. That's a great introduction, I think, to the show we're going to be having here today. This talk isn't come easily to any of us. It's about diplomatic tensions, and it's going to bring a lot outside here to talk. So before we start on that, Brene also has a song of his own that he would like to introduce and to talk with everyone about. It's his personal one, I don't know.
Okay, guys, so this song is actually a Marathi song. Marathi is a language which is spoken in Maharashtra. If you guys have heard about Mumbai, the city. So the song name is Tamri Chamri, which literally translates to like brown skin. So it goes like your brown skin is shining in the sun, and then you'll listen to the drop of the music, which will be very interesting, I think so. So it's a song by DJ Critics and Shreyas. I hope you enjoy the song.
Thank you. Be back soon.
काय रे आज पण
तुम्हाला नाही कळणार
चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा लाख खादीचा पांढरा शर्ट खाकी पॅन्ट टाकून मी टकडत चेहऱ्यावर तेजपणे चकाचक आवाजात वजननी बोलण्यात ना जातात म्हणून तर ऐकणारे नाव घेतात हक्कानं जे तुला डाग दिसतात अंगावर माखलेलो मातीच्या रंगात जे पण काही दिलेले देवानं मिरवतोय हक्कानं क्लब मध्ये क्रिटिक्स तर मराठी वाजणारा समकास आपल्या कामात नाही कधी काय शंका क्राऊड मध्ये दंगावर साक्षी लय जनता जिकडे जाशील तिकडे आपला से डंका दशीर कारागीर लेखणीवर मारलेला आहे रंदा मी गाडीवर फिरताना कामानी मी स्टेजवरती भिजलो की घामानी तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 लाखा
स्टेजवरती भिजलो की घामानी स्टेजवरती भिजलो की घामानी मी गाडीवर फिरताना कामानी मी गाडीवर फिरताना कामानी
तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 तांबडी चामडी ही चमकते उन्हात ना लाखा 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 लाखा
And we are back. Thank you for everyone that listened to Tambada Chandi.
That's Tamri Chamri.
Tamri Chamri. Okay. Yes. First of all, I would like to ask the forgiveness of every listener today that will hear me trying to say a lot of names that I'm not familiarized with. So I'll try my best to do a great job here, guys. So I would like to make a better introduction for what we'll be discussing today. There's quite a few things that we'll be hoping on. So first of all, we'll be discussing a recent, really recent and complex event that gained attention across Canada and India. It centers on a former Peel Regional Police Officer, Harinder Sohi, I think that's it, who was suspended after reportedly participating in a protest listening protest that turned violent at the Hindu Sabha Temple in Brampton. So, according to the former Toronto Police Detective Donald Bass, many Khalistani protesters physically attacked Hindu worshippers on the temple grounds. And we want to make clear that while we are discussing this, we are just trying to report the facts or not take any particular political stance. I think that the diplomatic tension affects a lot of people, especially the millions of Indians who currently live in Canada and who can maybe and who feel directly impacted by these events, including international students such as my friend here. And also the most diverse community that is around. So for that, here are my personal friend. I have Pranay Ratan. He's co-hosting the show. We're going to be also being inspired a little bit about his story, which is our goal, always trying to talk politics and backgrounds. So he comes from a background from a type of educational initiative that's called Slum School. I've been introduced when I met him, which is actually a pretty fun story to begin with.
You should start by that. I'll start. So there was this server on Discord called SFU 2027. And, you know, like there were just like some random people on that from across the world. And I just like texted Iago, hey, are you going to SFU this fall? This was back in fall 2023, by the way. So he was like, yeah. I was like, do you want to talk? He was like, yeah, sure, but can we just do a Google Meet instead? I was like, okay, this guy's totally like me. He just doesn't want to chat. He just wants to like connect over a call. And that's how I met Iago. That was back in June 2023, I believe so. And
a little bit before, actually.
A
little bit before, because it was before we accepted the SFU offer.
Oh, okay, yeah. It should be May?
Yeah, around May.
May, April, like something like that. And at the same time, I was also a co-founder of a non-profit organization back in India. It is named Testify Foundation. So one of my projects at that time was opening a slum school. So we basically started from scratch. And it was basically for the people who have never been introduced to the concept of schooling. Like they knew nothing about what education is and how do they proceed with education. They were just people who wanted to learn. So I was tutoring kids from the age of 3 to 10. So there were basically 10 kids and there was a small slum basement. So a slum, how do I explain it to the audience? A slum is basically illegal residences in a part of a bigger city where people just live in like very small rooms and the population is densely crowded and like not the best hygienic conditions. And that's basically what a slum is, I think. So and so I just rented one of the slums so that, you know, all of the people from the slum could actually attend the school. So if you don't know about what a slum is, I think so there's a very famous movie called Parasite. It's a South Korean movie, I believe.
Yes.
And it was based in a slum, I think so, which was a South Korean slum.
Yes.
So, yeah, the slum school basically started from there. First off, people were not comfortable with me just renting out the slum. I also had people recommending me not to go in the area because there have been incidents where, you know, people have been abused, even got killed, but I just did it anyway. And so the 10 kids that I was tutoring, so I did it for like 2 months, and before coming to Canada, I made sure they started school. So yeah, they did start school, and yeah, that's one of the best stories of my life, I would say. Yeah.
And I think that this talk about extracurriculars, if you allow me to call it like that, because we're referring to college, that's what people refer to it as. I think it comes in a really interesting position that it's trying to discover a little bit of this world of like social entrepreneurship and now how that connects to college abroad. Do you think you can work on this gap? I can talk a little bit of my life as well, talking about this gap, but I think it's pretty interesting coming from you.
Okay. First off, I think so extracurriculars for college do matter, I mean, for college, but at the same time, you also need to make sure that you're just not doing random things like, you know, like, oh, I just did a lot of MUNs or, oh, I did whatever the crowd was doing. You have to do what your heart says. So, interestingly, Iago, I never did something that I really, really liked before applying to college and getting all my admits. I did what would be good on an application. After getting into college and after my decision was taken for university, I actually did the thing that I liked and I did it on my own. So yeah, I think so extracurriculars when it comes to like college admissions, it plays a big role in a person's life. So make sure you take the right decision with it.
Yeah, no, that's a great input. How do you think that in anyhow that has influenced your choice of coming to Canada? Because that's where I wanted to land. Like, where does it come from? Like, why particularly Canada? Does the school has any connection with it that I... Because I don't particularly know.
Okay, so my decision of coming to Canada. So, Iago, if you remember my LinkedIn post, I got into 14 schools around 5 different countries, which was basically India, New Zealand, Australia, US, and Canada. Now, okay, I was in a schooling system where I was being trained for a competitive exam, which, by the way, is very competitive. It's like a 0.1% acceptance rate, if you have heard of the Indian Institute of Technologies in India. So yeah, I was training for that, but I couldn't focus much on that because that wasn't my personality. So, you know, I just told my parents, you know, I don't want to do this. Let me just not go to school and do something at home. So I stopped going to school in like half of my 12th grade. And I was just sitting at home and I was just doing random stuff, trying to see, oh, okay, I have to apply to this college, that college, I have to do this, I have to do that. So that's how, like, yeah. And my first Canadian admit was actually SFU. So I also got into McGill, University of Toronto, University of Waterloo, all the big universities. But yeah, at the end, I landed up coming here. There was no specific context that, you know, like my slum schools was related to coming here. But I just wanted to do something good before I left the country and, you know, like have a major contribution in the city that I lived in.
And do you think that the existence of a big Indian community here has influenced it in anyhow?
Well, I would say so because, you know, like when I was looking at countries, like actually every country that you go in, there's a lot of brown audience that you find in every country, basically. So, but yeah, I know for a fact that, you know, Vancouver was like one of the major cities in Canada. I think so, like the first immigrants who were Indian came here in 1900s, late 1800s, something like that. So yeah, I mean, it did play a role where my parents were at least like, okay, at least he'll find his type of people. So yeah, I think so, that's about it. But it, when it came to my decision, it just came to the fact of my academics and the tuition fee and the return on investment and everything like that. Not much of the demographics, I would say.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I think that the reason I'm touching a little bit on this, first of all, of course, I'm trying to go around and try to understand your personal reasons for immigration, because I think that's going to matter for the discussion that we're coming for. Like, because as far as I remember, one of the first things when I got here, we went out together to Delta.
Yeah.
And a really interesting fact came to my... mentioned that you're afraid of...
Okay. I'll host the story. Okay.
Please.
So it was a random day in university. Both of us, like Iago and me, we were like fresh firstmen just trying to discover the city. And, you know, we were happy. Oh, we are in Canada. He's from Brazil, I'm from India. We were like, oh, we are in Canada. What are we doing sitting in our dorms? Let's just take a bus and go to a thrift store. We were like, okay, yes, we'll do that. And we took the bus. We went to the first strip store and that wasn't really good. We were like, okay, you know what? Let's take another bus and let's go to another one. And somehow we missed the stop that we were supposed to get out at. And, you know, after that, we just went like, you know what? Let's just see where this bus takes us. Very interestingly, it takes us to the place in South Delta, outside of a Gurdwara.
Actually, it's South Surrey for now.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. We have just reached South Surrey for now. So we landed up outside a Gurdwara. Now, when it comes to me, I do follow Hinduism and I also go to Sikh temples as well, back home and here. So we landed outside a Gurdwara and apparently that was the exact place where a Sikh separatist leader, Hardeep Singh Nijjar, was executed. And I just saw big posters of the Khalistan movement and of the Indian officials labeled as wanted, and many things about India that, oh, India did this, India did that. So even though I followed the religion specifically, I was kind of hesitant to go inside. Which I think about it right now, it was actually just because of the fact I landed in Canada and the fact that Indian government also released an advisory for all the Indian citizens in Canada that you are not exactly safe, which also has a backstory to it. Iago, do you want me to continue with the backstory?
Yeah. Okay. Don't worry.
So basically, after this killing of Hardeep Singh Nijjar, the Canadian government, I think so, the Prime Minister in the Parliament, he blamed the Indian government that there might have been some Indian connections to the killing of a Canadian citizen on Canadian soil. So when he said this, there was obviously a lot of diplomatic tension which raised, and Indian government, like, out of, like, I think so, they just wanted to give a reply or something. They just released an advisory for all the Indian citizens in Canada. So this was happening back in fall 2023. Now skip to the story 1 year later. The RCMP goes and does a press conference and it states out that, okay, according to our investigation, there was indeed a hand of the Indian government in the killing of the Canadian citizen. And it was also linked to a gang called Lawrence Bishnoi. But then again, like, was all of this just a political fiasco or the truth? I really don't know. And that's not for me to decide. But after that, Indian government officials also, there was a lot of diplomatic tension. So Canadian diplomats in India were told to go back to their country. Indian diplomats over here were told to go back to India. So yeah, tensions rose. And when it comes to the very recent development of it, we were all the Hindus and the Sikhs and basically anyone who's brown, and the whole country basically was celebrating Diwali. And at a very specific temple in Brampton, some Khalistani protesters got violent and they got inside the temple where Hindus were worshipping for the occasion of Diwali. And yeah, things got violent and it got bad. Even in Surrey, there was cases of police brutality against Hindus or Sikhs. So yeah, I think so everything went kind of downhill after that. Iago, if you want to talk more about that, you can go ahead.
Okay. I don't want to touch on too much of the specific political, even because I am still really new to this diplomatic tension. I think it's really interesting to see it in a bunch of different perspectives. I think that the first thing that comes to mind is how this most recent events, they go on the opposite spectrum of what is Trudeau's interest, yeah, talking on diplomacy and, mm-hmm, like foreign high aspects, because with the rising tensions between the West civilization and China, mm-hmm, India comes in a really interesting place, mm-hmm, where they can play along with any of those countries.
Yes.
So there, it's not just a matter of a large citizenship, a large army, but it also goes on territory proximity with China. It goes along with the fact that they have nuclear bombs. So because of that, when we're discussing, again, this Fahrenheit diplomacy, seeing India and Canada not going along comes as a problematic, as a problem. For more, most specifically, Trump, I see so, than Kamala. Because Trump goes on the line of peaceful, not peaceful, but like he can't solve any any political disputes, at least as my personal opinion, I like to make it clear. So he plays on like the democracy and like how he can solve any of the Ukrainian issues. He's the one, I can solve Israel. So like how he's gonna solve the problems with his neighbor while he needs to deal with Taiwan's tensions rising and the dispute with China over like China supporting Palestine. It's like,
yeah, all of this just ends up being a big political fiasco on a global level, not only with two countries or two religions, but with so many different stakeholders that we can't even imagine. So, like, as you told that, you know, like, Trump will say that he can do this, he can do that. When it comes to, like, the Canadian politics, I think so, something of the same sort is being practiced over here when it comes to the, like, the big Canadian politics and the elections which will be taking up, I think so, next year, is it?
Sorry?
The elections in Canada, is it next year?
Yes.
Okay.
Is.
So now when it comes to the vote bank, there are the 4% and 4% of the Canadian population, 4% of it is, I think so, is it 4%? 8 lakh, 6 and 8 lakhs Hindus living in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like basically a 50-50 situation. Now, when it comes to the conservatives, I think so, like all the Hindus are gonna vote for them because they have kind of seen what their situation is with the Liberal government right now, that the government did not take up any action when all of this was happening. And when it comes to the Sikh population, I think so they will be supporting the NDP and the Liberal Party again, because like they took a clear stance, like, and did their investigation and put the allegation on India, even if we don't know if that's actually true or not. But I think so the NDPs aren't with the Liberals right now. Is that the case, Iago?
Sorry?
Are the NDPs still with the Liberals?
No, it's a different. What would be the Liberals here in BC would be the BC United.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit different. But the BC United did support the NDP.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And also interesting talking about that, if I'm not wrong, it was actually an interesting dispute to comment about, like, how conservatives seem to be leading in Surrey.
Yeah.
And actually there was a turn and then they posed the majority. That was an interesting ride following the elections this year. But before continuing, because I want to touch a little bit on the immigration aspect of all this tension between the two countries, I would love to continue up with some share of our PSAs. And yes, thank you. I'll see you back here soon. Thank you.
The National Greening Program, run by Tree Canada, is dedicated to planting seedling trees across Canada in BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They prioritize planting on Indigenous and public lands and planting areas of natural and human-caused disturbance. The trees they plant help filter the air and water and sequester carbon, among other positive impacts. To learn more,